Morning all, Wednesday, December 7, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you, wherever and however you are listening. And the World Cup this morning, and we've seen the first real shock of the round of 16. Morocco have beaten Spain 3-0 in a penalty shootout. Yep, Spain couldn't put one in the back of the net after the match finished a scoreless draw after 120 minutes. And so the North Africans are through to the quarterfinals for the first time. They had, clearly, it sounded like as well, the majority of support in the stadium there, judging by the whistles when the Spanish players stepped up to take their spot kicks. And they were repelled each time by the Moroccan keeper. One of them hit the post, but Morocco through to the final eight. And Portugal, well, Cristiano Ronaldo is on the bench, would you believe, for the game that's kicking off in 20 minutes' time, the last of the round of 16 games against Switzerland. Lozza's back in the studio with us. How are you, Lozza?
Yeah, good, boys. How are we all?
Sensational.
Sensational, yeah. What a game. Morocco defeating Spain. I don't think too many people saw that coming. Well done to Morocco. Spain, geez, they were the World Cup winners, what, in 2010? Semi-final of the Euro in 2020, then to be knocked out by the last African side. That's not a result that they were after. A lot of people will sort of say that they were one of the heavyweights of this tournament, so that's a big upset. Again, they lose in a penalty shootout. But well done to the Moroccan team. They move on. They're into the quarterfinals for the first time. We would have loved to have been Australia, but obviously that wasn't to be. Argentina were better than us on the day. But this World Cup, I think it's excited a lot of people. It's been on at a reasonable hour, like that second game at 6 o'clock in the morning, where most people have been able to watch it if they're a football fan or if they're a World Cup fan. Certainly helped us here in the studio. You know, a few mornings watching the games on television and the replays. So looking forward to today's game. Should be a beauty as well. Yeah. But with Ronaldo starting on the interchange bench, I heard when he got dragged off last game, he said he had some words with the opposition player, but it looks as though those words were directed at the manager. And the manager's not happy, so he's decided to bench him for this game against Switzerland.
Well, this is a statement, isn't it, that the manager isn't happy. If you've got Cristiano Ronaldo on the bench for a knockout game at the World Cup, Portugal $1.85, by the way, with tabs, Switzerland $4.25. The draw's paying $3.50, as I mentioned, 20 minutes' time that kicks off. So, even the country's fans over there, as I say, good morning to Pup. Polls at home in Portugal saying he shouldn't start the match against Switzerland either after, as Loz mentioned, Portuguese reports say that he said, "You're in a effing hurry to sub me off," is what they've managed to translate that he said to the Portuguese manager after he was substituted after 65 minutes of their game against South Korea. So, Cristiano Ronaldo, not only on the nose of people in the UK, well, certainly Manchester United fans and others as well, even his home fans. So you just some players, you just get a bit grumpier, even if you're a superstar as you get older.
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Well, is he subbed because of... Is he on the bench now because of those words to the manager?
Has to be.
It's nothing to do with how he's playing?
Oh, it has to be. Cristiano Ronaldo is starting for Portugal in a World Cup knockout game every day of the week.
Yeah, okay. So you reckon it's just about crack at the manager? Nothing to do with his form?
No.
Okay. No. Then, yeah. Convinced. I think I've said it a million times. No one's bigger than the game. He's a genius. He's an absolute superstar. He's done so much for the game of football since coming onto the big stage. But, yeah, he's obviously, you know, frustrated. He's obviously frustrated with what's happened at United, frustrated probably the way he's playing. And then he's getting pulled off and he's not happy with that. I don't know how it works in football. You know, if you have a crack at the captain or the coach in cricket, you know, they'll generally grab you to the side and, you know, you have a conversation with them, but you wouldn't be told you're not playing the next test match. Football is obviously different. He knows the rules. He's been around long enough and you obviously can't get away with that. So, yeah, you do the crime, you pay the time. I just think it seems to me like he's frustrated in general at the moment. It doesn't matter what team he plays for. So is that stuff going on off the field? Is that he's just not playing his best footy? Is that he hasn't signed with a new club yet and, you know, he's up, it's up in the air what he's going to do? It could be a million different things. That's just, that happens in, you know, no matter what stage of your career you're at, that there's always distractions, there's always things, but his carry-on at the moment is not helping him. So I reckon fair play to the manager. If this is how it works in football, then drag him and there's your punishment. You're on the bench. I don't care what game it is. You can't, you know, no one's bigger than the team. You can't talk to the manager like that in football.
Certainly brave by the Portuguese manager, no doubt about that. Speaking of our manager, Adam Peacock in Code Sports, News Corp publication writes that Football Australia boss James Johnson is set to speak with Graham Arnold imminently and wants him to take the Socceroos to the 2026 World Cup. Some of his direct quotes here. He exceeded our expectations, Johnson said. Added he has a great working relationship with him and is very proud of him as well. No wonder he would be after Australia. So for reaching the round of 16, Australia gained $13 million. So what's that? 19.32 million Australian. When it looks like heading into a World Cup qualifier against Peru, we're going to get zero. He's put more than $19 million now into the Football Australia coffers. But interesting that he says he exceeded our expectations. It's sort of, you could, you know, see beneath that, that perhaps they thought that, you know, sort of almost indicates that maybe he didn't have the support of Football Australia for a lot of the way through.
Well, I don't think a lot of people thought we'd end up where we did in the final 16. I think if we had some decent performances and didn't get smashed by a couple of the heavyweights in our group, then that was going to be a reasonable result for us. But to make it through to the 16 and the way they played and the way they bounced back after that first game where they lost to France 4-1, I think that surprised a lot of people. I don't know whether he had the support of everyone, Arnie,
no doubt, you know,
in the lead-up. But no, I think the fact that Football Australia didn't have the money to pay him out was one of the reasons why they got behind him and didn't sack him. I think they just didn't have the money. But, yeah, Arnie's shown everyone what he's capable of doing. And if Arnie wants the job, I'm sure that he'll take it. But I'm just wondering whether, you know, he thinks that he's taken this group as far as he can, or, as we've been reading over the last couple of days, this is a group that he's been able to put together. Most of the players are going to be there for the next World Cup if their form holds true. And there's some good young players underneath that are now getting opportunities overseas as well. So he might think that this is the time where I can cash in. I can take them to another level. And that's something that he will have to weigh up. But, yeah, there'll be no shortage of jobs for Graham Arnold. It's just whether he wants to get back into the club side of coaching or whether he wants to stick with coaching a national team.
Well, Clarkie's not convinced he will take the job, are you, Pop?
Well, oh, if it's just about him and he him looking after himself and his family, there'll definitely be a better opportunity for him. It's going to pay him a lot more money, I think, because he's done so well. But mate, Arnie's shown, like, he's pretty loyal. Like, he cares about this Australian team, as Loz just mentioned. It sounds like the players are like sons to him. Like, he's that tight with the group. So, mate, I don't know, you know, like, and everyone gets to, you know, a certain stage of their career where that's more important than the money, or that's more important than a bigger job. Like, everyone's at different stages. So I think it would be great for football in this country if he continued on. It sounds like he's got the most amazing relationship with the players who respect him so much. So, you know, that's what you're after as a leader in the group. And yeah, he's done so much, so who knows what he could do in preparation for the next World Cup. But yeah, I also, if he does decide to go, I stand and clap as he leaves. I don't feel angry or bitter that he's not letting anyone down now if he decides to take a bigger opportunity in regards to club land that pays him a lot more money.
Yeah, he owes, he doesn't owe the Socceroos anything. He's done exactly and what he was signed to do, was to get them to the World Cup, which he did, and then exceeded expectation.
And I remember, Loz, as you mentioned, like, mate, he got absolutely smashed. I don't know about, you know, oh, he didn't have respect of the board or everyone at Soccer Australia. Mate, around this country, he was getting smoked. Past players, Soccer Australia fans, they were absolutely smashing him. They were going to sack him before the World Cup. Mm. Like, our memories are so short. You know, I guarantee you, Graham Arnold, he'll remember that. He'll remember those people. So, you know, now he stands in a place where he got more out of the team. When you look at the stock we have, we overachieved. So that's brilliant leadership.
And he can control his own destiny.
That's what you want. And now he has the chance, exactly right, to make his own choice.
Okay, so headline on the back page of the Telegraph and the Australian, green and gold on the back page of the Telegraph. So Cummins will endure as a genuine star. And on the back page of the Australian, Pat will weather climate storm. Cummins' popularity to win out with Australian fans. So a market research company called, one of these market research companies called True North has, done a bit of a study on the Australian cricket team with all these sort of indications, potentially players and the team is on the nose, etc. And this article just pointing to, I guess, the generational divide at the moment, and Pat Cummins sort of caught in the middle of it, and saying here that Cummins found himself in the middle of that divide. Overall, he's a fundamentally popular sporting figure. More to come out of this is that, the research says there's no long-term disconnect with the fans. The Australian team can bounce back, and winning is a key factor, which is always the factor, isn't
Thanks
it?
For the scoop.
But it is interesting, isn't it? Because we get a lot of texts, obviously, and calls about, you know, Cummins and whether, you know, he's on the nose, etc. A lot of people don't like his stance on this and that. But obviously the younger generation, and I've said it before, Loz, you got kids around that age, they're probably huge fans, or, you know,
Very similar.
Pro the issues that he is, because they're of similar age.
Yeah, and that's the way they've either been taught, or that's the way their groups discuss things. Mm. They like to voice their concerns about, in particular, what's going on around the world with human rights issues and energy concerns and all different types of things that we never really sort of spoke about when we were growing up. But it's just more of an issue now. It's always sort of been there, but kids are more inclined to start to talk about it and voice their opinions now more so than ever. And Pat Cummins is a young man. He's leading the Australian cricket team, and he is. He's caught up in the middle of it. They all want to have their say, which is fine, but then you have to realise that with having that say comes some pushback from different sections, and that's what I think Australian cricket, and Cummins in particular, is going through now.
I think there's another season of the Test coming out as well on Amazon, so it's all a PR battle, isn't it, at the moment? So, interesting times. But, Clarkey, winning. Winning's the answer. Simple
winning
as that.
Has always,
no scoop.
It's always been the answer. You know, it's amazing how many problems you seem to fade away.
Yeah.
You're fighting with the wife. Nah, you go and make 100 or get 5 wickets, and all of a sudden you're not fighting with the wife anymore. The team wins and represents the country the right way and plays the brand of cricket that you want and all these things. Look, when you're in the spotlight, you at best start 50-50. 50% of the population like you, 50% of the population don't. Then you go through things through your career, and that varies. Sometimes on that given day, and normally when you're performing, more people like you, more people don't. So I don't think this stuff will bother Paddy, to be honest. I don't think it's up to the Australian players to be sitting there thinking, what can we do to be more liked? I think their responsibility and job is exactly like I said. Win games of cricket, play the game the right way, get on with it. Continue to understand and respect that you're a role model for young boys and young girls. Cricket Australia, on the other hand, they can be thinking about things where, okay, where have we let ourselves down? Or what are we not doing well enough to connect with the fair? It might be as simple as, mate, at the moment we're on the nose because there's too much cricket. At the moment we're on the nose because tickets are too expensive. At the moment, we're on the nose because we haven't handled this Justin Langer thing. Like, whatever, it doesn't actually matter. There's always going to be something. And as an organisation or an athlete, every day you get out of bed thinking, how do I get better? So as long as they're thinking that, mate, this stuff, again, even releasing this or giving, do whatever you guys want to do. You want to go to the pub in Perth to, you know, show that you're connecting with the fans after the test match, then go to the pub with, go to the pub in Perth. Do whatever you got to do. But the key for the players is just concentrate on playing good cricket.
Just watching Portugal and Switzerland walk out onto the pitch there over in Qatar. And by the way, the Swiss, no mugs, they knocked France out of the Euros last year. And that was on penalties in the round of 16 after the match finished in a 3-3 draw. So they're $4.40 in the 90-minute market here. The Swiss, Portugal, $1.80 favourites. Draw, $3.60 with tab. There's more than 300 markets open for that game, which is not far from going live. And the big news in this game from a lineup's perspective is that Cristiano Ronaldo is starting from the bench. And there he is singing the anthem with the yellow bib on.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Mido? Because I look back to the start of the tournament and remember he met his teammate from Man United in the shed. And it was
cold
sort of
reception.
A cold reception. And I don't know how soccer works, but, you know, in a footballing sense, usually a coach would, on a decision like this, would talk to senior players within the group and say, listen, I'm thinking about doing this because of X, Y, and Z. Have I got your support?
Looks like he has.
So I just think that while the coach has made that decision, it wouldn't surprise me if the leadership group has been asked and they've said, yeah, no, we'll support you on this.
Rubber stamped it for sure. Look, he will have an impact if he comes on, which I'm sure he will in the last half an hour of this match this morning. Now, back page as well. We're on the eve of the second test, of course, the day-night test in Adelaide tomorrow. And the market for that game with TAB has Australia $1.12. The West Indies $12 to cause a shock. The draw $10. But Nathan Lyon on the cusp of some history there. And headline back page of the Herald, Lyon set to eclipse Warn at Adelaide. The Australian Lyon on track to break new ground. So most test wickets in Adelaide, N Lyon and SK Warne both on 56. Gee, I'll tell you what, when you look at this list as well, and you look at Stark and Hazelwood, Stark's taken 39 wickets in 7 games at 17.3 at Adelaide Oval. Hazelwood's taken 32 in 6 at 19.09. So when we're talking about potentially resting these, as I indicated yesterday, to give this young Lance Morris a crack, I'm sure if they're fit and ready and with those records at Adelaide Oval, let alone just the fact it's a test match for Australia, pup, they won't be keen to take any sort of rest because they've got great records, Stark and Hazelwood, as well as Nathan Lyon, of course, who has got an average. He's actually got a better average than Warne at Adelaide Oval, 26.55. Not for a second would I ever indicate that Lyon's in the same class or no one's in the same class as the great Warney, but he's got a great record there and he was a groundsman there at one point.
Yeah, he was, Mido, and he loves that ground. He's bowled very well. And I think the other thing, those statistics show you that when there's been a lot of day-night test matches now at Adelaide and that brings the quicks into the equation. You go back in time, facing fast bowling in Adelaide was money for jam. It was exactly where you wanted to play as a batsman. So I'd like to see what McGrath, Gillespie, Brett Lee, Kasperwich, Bickle. I'd like to see what their records are because they didn't have that pink ball and bowl under lights there, so it might be a little bit different. And used to get reverse swing in Adelaide as well. Now you're probably not going to get that with that pink ball, but Starkey will swing that up front, the pink ball under lights. He'll, you know, when that the lights come on, he'll be tough. Hazelwood's been a genius there with that pink ball as well. So Lino's role won't change. During the day, he'll bowl lots of overs. As that ball gets a little bit older, you'll see him, you know, get comfortable from one end and bowl lots of overs. So, yeah, it'll be very special for him. I know he loves that ground. He was the groundsman there and proud of his time in Adelaide. So if he can, he will. He'll knock over Warney's record and that'll be very special to him. But, yeah, look, I've said it before. I think Lino's record is phenomenal, particularly for a finger spinner. His stats are unbelievable. I just want to see Lino keep doing what he did in that first test match. On day five, keep winning his test matches now. He's good enough to take those 4, 5, 6 wicket hauls on day five when there's pressure on and you need your spinner to win games for you. If Lino does that, he will go down as one of our best spinners. There's no doubt about it. No, he's not Shane Warne, but I tell you, there's not too many better finger spinners around the world than Lino.
Okay, so that's tomorrow, of course. It is a minute to six. Coming up this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast, we've got, Dick Fane in 10 minutes' time. Gee, I'll tell you what, there's some storylines coming out of the weekend's NFL action. And by the way, Tom Brady yesterday, I'm sure you saw it, Loz. Mm. They were anemic, Tampa Bay, for most that game. And then two touchdowns in the last 3 minutes against their NFC South rivals.
13 points down. 3 minutes to go, and Brady gets them home with 3 seconds to go.
Can't say I told you so. I can't say I told you so, you two.
He did nothing. Mate, their team is anemic.
He doesn't need to do anything. He just needs to win the game.
He relied on Julio Jones and then came up with some wonderful grabs.
He's a genius, mate.
He's a walking corpse.
Goat.
he is the greatest of all time, but he can't go around again.
No. He can go for another 5 years and he keeps doing what he did yesterday.
He needs other players around him.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
And a wheelchair.
Scoreless, 9 minutes in between Portugal and Switzerland, the final game in the round of 16 at the World Cup. Dick Fane coming up shortly, just reading this news going on over in Indonesia. Clark, you know trips to Bali planned anytime soon, do you? So Indonesia's passed laws that ban extramarital sex with those convicted facing up to a year in jail.
Sent to me on a DM.
Applies to Indonesian citizens and international visitors, obviously including Australians. So there you go. That's going to be a problem, potentially.
Especially for the unmarried crop like myself. Don't think you'll be travelling in that direction.
Okay.
Certainly won't be going there for Christmas, put it that way.
No. I wonder if that'll affect the tourism of what is obviously Australia's playground.
No, it'd have to. It'd have to affect their tourism, you know.
What's the punishment for the crime? How long in prison?
Up to a year in jail.
Oh, in Indonesia?
Yeah.
No, thank you very much.
Behind closed doors or is it on beaches or...
Yeah,
I haven't read the fine print in every hotel room. Loz?
I haven't read the fine detail of the law that was
Can you look
passed.
Into the fine print? Look in the conditions apply, that bottom right corner with the asterisk.
Well, you need to know. You need to have all the information before you actually...
It's got to be in public, surely.
If there's
an issue,
on a plane and get over there.
Does your lawyer friend have, interest
contacts
in
Indonesia? No, I don't think so.
It'd be a hell of a fight in court as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, would it be so? You reckon the Chappelle Corby case was big?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, that was big. What would this be? Anyway, there you go. The big stories.
The big stories of the day. Eh?
We're going to the States, surely. Just on the home front, though, in the NRL, Sam Walker at the Roosters. It's been confirmed he's re-signed. 20-year-old stays there at Bondi Junction until at least the end of 2025. So that's a 2-year extension. Apparently he's bulked up as he heads back into pre-season. And I guess now we wait to see if it'll definitely be Luke Keary in the halves with him next year, who's obviously the incumbent, had those concussion issues. So much talk about Joey Manu, etc. But Sammy Walker has been so good at such a young age, hasn't he?
Oh, he's been terrific, you know. And for a kid that's not overly big, and he'll get bigger as he gets older, obviously. But he's a guy that I like watching play because he does things a little bit differently to some of the young halves in the competition. A lot of the young halves in the competition, you know, they may have played half back coming through the system, but they're still manufactured and they're very low-risk type halfbacks. Whereas Sam Walker is prepared to roll the dice. He's prepared to chip and chase, grub a kick, throw a cutout pass. He's prepared to back his skill. And this is his third season now, or coming into his third season. He's played close to 50 games of NRL. So he's about to come into the best footy of his career. And the game will start to slow down for him after a bit. And I like how he plays, and I think he and Keary can form a wonderful combination. They've got strike all around them. You know, his kicking game's improved. I like the way that he adapts to most situations. While he mightn't be the biggest player, and he might miss some tackles, he puts his body on the line. That's what I like, not being afraid to make that contact. And for me, he does that really well. So I think Sammy Walker, he was brought in, I think, into the Origin squad last year, just to get to learn what Queensland was all about. So I think that will help him as well, looking how other people, the senior players, representative players that have been there for a number of years, prepare for games. I think that will help his development. So I think he's in for a big future. I really enjoy the way he plays.
Just apologies at the moment. Our text line's down, so I'm not brushing you at all. We've just got the tech boffins onto it, so hopefully we can get that up. Hello, Dick. How are you?
I'm doing great, boys.
Gosh, what a week in the NFL it was. I'll start with the San Francisco 49ers, who beat the Miami Dolphins, but what an epic blow for them. Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback, going down again, broken foot, out for the season. First question, can the 49ers still win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think their chances got diminished. The only question is how much did their chances get diminished? Because I believe that the 49ers, if you just take out the quarterback position for a second, I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFL. Now, when you add the quarterback position, you add Jimmy for them and now Brock Purdy for them, where you add Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs, you add Josh Allen to the Bills, you add Jalen Hurts to the Eagles, and all of a sudden, then the scales get tipped a little bit. So the question really is for the Niners is how much can the rest of their team carry them? Because Jimmy's not a guy that goes out and wins football games on his own, but he's very good at not losing football games, and he's very good at making the rest of his team the star in order to win those games. And so can Brock Purdy do that? I mean, I think if any team of those teams that I mentioned lost their quarterback, San Francisco can certainly handle that blow a lot better than Philadelphia, the Bills, Kansas City. If any one of those three teams lost their quarterback, they'd be done. I would tell you right now, they got no shot at winning the Super Bowl. I think San Francisco can still get there. I would not put them as the favorite over the Eagles now as I would have before the injury. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl because at some point you got to face a team from the AFC, whether it's the Bills, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's a rejuvenated Cincinnati, whether it's the Dolphins, and those teams are going to put up points. You're going to have to outscore those teams, and I don't think San Francisco would be able to do it with Brock Purdy at quarterback.
Well, Dick, do they go looking for another quarterback to fill in for the rest of the season? And if they do, I see a bloke like Baker Mayfield's been released from his club. Is that someone that they might entertain getting for the rest of the season?
Well, that was the original speculation yesterday when he was released by Carolina. And Kyle Shanahan has shot that down since then. He said his quote, I believe, was, "I would be very surprised if we'd be interested in Baker Mayfield." So, I mean, Baker Mayfield, man, that guy, he kind of deserves what he gets. I mean, I don't think I've seen a player in the NFL get more publicity, more television commercials. I mean, he was everywhere on TV for the last 3 years or so, especially when he was in Cleveland, without doing anything. So it was Baker Mayfield has shown that he is nothing more than a very, very low-end starting quarterback or maybe even a high-end backup quarterback in this league.
So what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo going ahead now when – obviously the season finishes and he's a free agent, isn't he? So
yeah.
Oh, can you envisage him being picked up elsewhere or becomes a backup there at San Francisco, stays at San Francisco because there's so many question marks with Trey Lance, the young quarterback they drafted who got injured early in the season. What happens?
Well, I've always thought that they're better off with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan agrees, and that's why he traded up to get Trey Lance. I think they want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they were kind of forced into the situation this year to keep him on. It was good that they did. I mean, had they gone straight from Trey Lance to Brock Purdy, they wouldn't be 8-4 right now. They wouldn't be the favorites to win that division. So I do think Jimmy goes elsewhere. I think he gets a fairly decent contract. It's certainly not the contract now that all of a sudden Geno Smith is earning here in Seattle, because he is, I mean, Geno's winning games, whereas Jimmy Garoppolo is just preventing his team from losing games. So he should still get a fairly lucrative, not in any way, shape, or form in the range of the Rodgers and Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and those guys, Russell Wilson up there. But he'll get a decent contract. It'll will be, I would think, at least in the $20 million a year range for a couple, 3 years.
What about Tom Brady yesterday, Dick? Unbelievable performance in the last couple of minutes, and in particular the last quarter. They were doing nothing, Tampa Bay, in that game.
They were doing absolutely nothing. Tom Brady was yelling and screaming on the sidelines, as he's done much of the year, at his teammates. And I go back to a play that New Orleans didn't make, about 6 minutes left to go in the game, and Tampa Bay was dead, absolutely dead. And Mark Ingram, for some reason, runs to the sideline, could easily have put his shoulder down and gotten a first down, or maybe even just stretched the ball out over the first down marker to get the ball on a second down run. Instead, that leaves it third and one. And I kind of even felt at the time, I was like, man, he needed to get that first down, because if Tampa stops them here, there's plenty of time for them to do some damage. Sure enough, Tampa stops them on the third and one, and then they just went into two-minute mode with 6 minutes left, and it looked like vintage Tom Brady. And it was a huge win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that win assures them the division. I really do. I just don't see enough from Atlanta, certainly not enough from Carolina or New Orleans to pass Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay is going to have a very mediocre record, 8-9 or 9-8, but that should be enough to win that division there. But again, it showed how limited Tampa was. It was a great comeback win, but they were awful for 3.5 quarters. They had 3 points. They will not be able to keep up with Philadelphia, keep up with San Francisco, Minnesota in the NFC playoffs. So I would be stunned if Tom Brady and the Buccaneers could get all the way to the Super Bowl.
Well, what about, I've been reading, there could be a romantic return for Tom back to New England. Any truth in that?
You know, it's
and
been
back to Giselle, Dick.
Yeah,
two well, for the price think, of one, they reckon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was actually over at my folks' house last night watching that game. My mom said Tom Brady's going to retire at the end of the year, right? And I said, well, not necessarily, because really the only thing that was pushing him towards retirement is Giselle, and now she's no longer in his life. So I don't think Tom Brady wants to retire. I mean, if he sees his performance dip to the point where he can't play anymore, then I think he realizes he's got to hang it up. But again, I mean, we saw the latest comeback in Tom Brady's career yesterday with a touchdown with 3 seconds left to go, and the second biggest fourth quarter comeback. The only other time Tom Brady had a bigger fourth quarter comeback, as we all remember, the Super Bowl against the Falcons when they were down 21-3. That was his only bigger fourth quarter comeback than he had last night. So he can still play the game. New England is a possibility. San Francisco, you asked about San Francisco. I mean, why not San Francisco for a year? With that running game, Christian McCaffrey, that defense, Tom Brady could take that team to a Super Bowl. I think that's a perfect fit for Tom Brady for 1 year.
Love it, Dick. Bring on Tom for another 5 years, I reckon. Buddy, what about this Football World Cup? Did the USA meet expectations?
I think they exactly met expectations. Okay. I mean, that was the expectations were, hey, get to the 16, get out of the group stage. They played a poor game against Wales, but then they came back with two very good games. Against England and Iran. So they had two games, one poor game, then they got the knockout stage, and they were outclassed. I mean, they were outclassed. They held their own in the Netherlands game. They actually controlled the ball more than the Netherlands did. They just didn't get a lot of scoring chances, and I think that's what we saw with the weakness of this U.S. team, is this: they just didn't have enough in the front end. They just were very limited offensively. Pulisic with the spectacular goal that we'll remember, but this is a squad that is going to be primed and ready for when this World Cup comes to the States in 2026, and we're actually going to be hosting here in Seattle. So I mean, this city will turn. I mean, it's already a soccer town with the Sounders making the FIFA World Cup. But having a World Cup game in this city will be so cool coming up in 2026. And I think this U.S. team, the expectations will definitely be higher. And in fact, I think a lot of people will expect this team to get to the semifinals by 2026 and maybe even skip over that quarterfinal round.
In the NBA, the Lakers, all of a sudden, they've won 8 of their last 10, Dick, and Anthony Davis is absolutely flying. So to what extent, I guess, have they turned it around? And I mean, looking at the West is a complete lottery at the moment. Are they contenders in the West again all of a sudden, or are we getting too far ahead of ourselves?
Well, I think if Anthony Davis continues to play like the best player in the league, like he's been recently, then I think the sky's the limit for them. But the main problem with Anthony Davis is he never can stay healthy enough or consistent enough long enough to carry a team. So, I mean, in the off chance that Anthony Davis stays healthy and continues to put up 30-plus and 15 rebounds, I mean, yeah, they can hang in there because you're right. The West is just, you know, there's just nothing special about the Western Conference. If I think the most likely scenario is that Anthony Davis plays well, but then, you know, gets a boo-boo here and banged up there and sits on the bench for 5 games or maybe goes on the injured list for 2 weeks and then they fall back down. But, you know, so I'm going to stick with just kind of that original, let's see if the Lakers can compete for that 7-10, get into that tiebreaker game and work their way into the playoffs. I mean, the Lakers over under, I think it was 45. We took the under to start the season. It's still looking pretty good to be under 45. But, you know, if AD continues to stay healthy and play well, then, you know, they can definitely threaten the over there.
The Brooklyn Nets improving, even though they just had a loss to Boston, but that snapped a 4-game winning streak. And I see Ben Simmons hoping to return in their game against the Atlanta Hawks later in the week. But Kyrie Irving being let go by Nike, that had cost him a fair bit of money.
Oh, boy, that's going to cost him a lot of money. I mean, there's been some people in this country that have opened their mouth. And, you know, Kanye being one of them, Kyrie Irving being one of them. Cost themselves billions. I mean, in Kanye, it's billions. In Kyrie's situation, it's hundreds of millions. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much money these guys have cost themselves, and not only in, you know, monetary, but also just in public image as well. And it's really unfortunate. But you know, Brooklyn is the Lakers of the East, really. I mean, it's the team that has the big name stars that if they were to put it all together, they could make a run, but the chances of Brooklyn putting it all together and the chances of Lakers putting it all together are definitely under 50-50.
On the Major League Baseball front, I saw this contract. So World Series winning pitcher Justin Verlander is 40 years of age. What, he signed a 2-year deal worth $86 million with the New York Mets.
The money that these big market teams are spending is absolutely insane to me. I mean, I understand there's no in baseball, there's no hard salary cap like there is in the NFL. So we've always talked about the quarterbacks making so much that it affects the rest of their team because there's a hard salary cap in the NFL. There's no hard salary cap in baseball. So you see these contracts, this Verlander contract, Trey Turner, 11 years, $300 million with the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, money is just being thrown around. Now, you do have to pay a luxury tax similar to what you do in the NBA. But, you know, these owners, these big market teams say, meh, big deal. You know, I mean, my team is, you know, my team is increasing in value every single year. I'm getting, you know, plenty of revenue from my television dollars, so I'm just going to continue to spend money and pay that luxury tax. And that's kind of a fight that we're, you know, fighting here in Seattle, because Seattle's not a small market team, but it's not a big market team either. It's somewhere, you know, in that 10 to 15 range. So the fans here in Seattle are seeing these players getting signed for $300 million and saying, well, why aren't we signing players for $300 million? Well, the simple reason is that these middle market teams and small market teams have to do it differently. They have to be more savvy. They just can't go around and throw around $300 million, especially when we just paid Julio Rodriguez, you know, a $200-plus million contract. We can't afford to have, you know, 3 or 4 guys on the team making $25 to $30 million a year.
And I guess when that sort of money's being thrown around, Dick, it's hard to see the NBA and Major League regular seasons being reduced. I mean, I get bored in both those regular seasons, particularly the NBA now, because I don't think they're taking it seriously until you're getting towards the playoffs. So, I guess with all the money involved and broadcast rights, etc., it's very unlikely they'll be reduced.
Yeah, you're right. It's unfortunate because I think the best length for a basketball season would be somewhere in that, you know, 60-game range. I think a baseball season, a 120-game baseball season would be absolutely perfect, truncated a little bit. Don't have it compete with football so much in September and October. But, you know, you're right. I mean, with these players making so much, the revenue has to come in somewhere, and it comes in from the TV rights, and it comes in from the ticket sales. So they need those 162 games in baseball and the 82 games in the NBA.
What are your best bets?
You know, this is an interesting week, guys. There's a few games that I like, but I don't have one that I like more than the other. So what I did yesterday when I did my show down at the casino, I actually put together a three-team parlay.
Love it.
Of the three games I liked the best. And that was the Jets +9.5, the Giants +7, and the Chargers +3. And what I did was I actually teased them. I teased them up. I teased them up with 7 points. So I think I still got +120 on my ticket. But I got the Jets, Giants, and Chargers at huge numbers. So I got the Jets at 16.5, the Giants at 14, and the Chargers at 10, because I think all three of those teams could win their games. But I'd be very, very surprised if any of those games was not competitive. I think those are going to be your close games. If I had to pick one, I think the Jets +9.5, that's too big a number against the Buffalo Bills because the Jets' defense is too good. So I kind of like that one. But any of those three games, I feel very good about that they'll be very competitive games. And I could even see, without too much of a problem, the Chargers winning at home outright, and they're +3 at home against Miami.
Yeah, it's a must-win game for them as well. Thanks so much, mate.
All right, boys, we'll talk to you next week.
No Ronaldo, no worries for Portugal. 2-0 up against Switzerland this morning in the round of 16 at the World Cup. And Ronaldo on the bench. And Ramos and Pepe, the goal scorers, in the 17th and 33rd minute, respectively. So at this stage, they would go through to the quarterfinals and play Morocco, who, of course, the only real shock of the round of 16 so far, they beat Spain. After it finished in a pretty uninspiring scoreless draw after normal and extra time, they went to penalties. And, well, it was Spain who were uninspiring in the penalty shootout. They didn't put one in the back of the net. The first one hit the post, the other two saved by the Moroccan keeper, and it was 3-0 in the end in the penalty shootout. The North Africans winning through to the quarterfinals for the first time. I'm sure I heard a stat too that Spain have appeared in 5 penalty shootouts at World Cups and lost 4 of them. So a poor record for them from the spot. Sounds like England almost. That all starts Saturday as far as the quarterfinals are concerned. The first two on Saturday morning, well, 2 a.m. our time's Croatia, Brazil, and then 6 a.m. is the Netherlands and Argentina.
Who do you want to win out of the Poms and the Frogs?
I don't have a leaning. I think France will win. There you go. I'll probably bet on the match, and I'll probably bet on France because I just think...
They got the world's best player.
I don't know if anyone can stop Mbappe at the moment. Mm. He is absolutely...
I just don't know who I'd like to see win that game. So I'm neutral there.
What is this got to do with the submarine thing?
Or
What's your thing with the French?
I just want to used to play against them.
Some untoward things, yeah.
They just used to do things.
They've got a bit of a reputation for that, don't they?
Yeah, they have. Very much so.
Well, you asked some Wallabies, asked Berkey, actually, from the 99 Rugby World Cup final. John Eales nearly marched them off the field because they were grabbing parts that they shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
They went
doing
the
Hopawadis.
They knew they weren't
like
the better side, so they decided to go the very, very dirty tactics.
They can be dirty. I've experienced that against the French. So I'm unsure of who to go for in that game.
What do they do to you?
Well, how do I describe it?
Yeah.
They basically rape you.
Yeah, well, that's... Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Okay.
And squeeze.
Not...
Right. And when they squeeze hard, it's uncomfortable.
No. Mm. Don't want that. No one wants that.
No one wants that, Middo. But that's what they're renowned for doing. In a league game, of course. Yeah. I don't know what they do in other games.
No, we don't want that. So Ronaldo still on the bench here as it heads towards half-time.
They look a happy team, Portugal.
Very happy team.
They're celebrating hard when they score their goals. They're playing wonderful football without Ronaldo on the field.
I haven't seen Ronaldo, because you know how the reserves go down and celebrate with the goal scorers.
Oh, you reckon
did
he hasn't
you see? Well, I haven't seen.
I don't want to jump to conclusions here, Minnow, yeah. But...
is he like putting on sort of a fake celebration?
I reckon it might be a fakey. Yeah. The old fake smile, and deep down he's burning.
He wouldn't be happy, I reckon, deep down, that's for sure. We've got our text line down. Apologies for that at the moment. If you're texting through or we can't see any of it, we got the tech boffins onto it. But you can give us a call, 1353 53. Anything you'd like to talk about this morning on the eve of the second test, Australia and the West Indies tomorrow, of course. I'll tell you what else, Loz. So last Friday... interesting signing from the Bulldogs. The club confirming it had signed Bronson Jerry for 2024 and 25 after his four-year doping ban ends. Now, to sign him now for, 12 months down the track, because that's when he'll be able to train, is November next year. There must have been competitive tension, I reckon, to lock him in now.
Oh, he's
still
only young.
So young, yeah. Isn't he?
And I think that's the thing in his favour. He's... 23 next year, so he'll be 24 when he comes back. And he's a very talented kid, and he was always highly regarded as a youngster. I saw a photo of him in the paper, and he looked massive, so he'd have to change his body shape. So now that he's under contract, I would assume that that will take him 12 months to lose a lot of that bulk and a lot of that muscle if he wants to be a centre, because the game is about speed and power, but you don't want to be that big and lose that agility if you're playing out there in the centre. So I'm assuming his body shape will change and need to change unless they want to play him in the back row. But I think he can come back, Bronson Sherry. I think he can because he was so young when he got himself into a bit of trouble. There's no denying his talent, and the Bulldogs are building nicely. You know, they've got a good squad together that's capable of playing finals football next year. Basically, they've blown it all up and reconstructed this squad. They've bought key position players, which they need to, although they still probably need a halfback and a fullback. One guy I was really impressed with towards the end of the year was Jacob Carrez, and he played for Lebanon in the World Cup. And I think I'm unsure of what his position is going to be, but you know, he might be someone that could play centres or fullback. Also got... what's his name? Jake Avarella, that played some decent football there at the end of last season. But I still think they're a half or a fullback short. But they've got a wonderful team they're putting together. They've got some big forwards. Kickout's going to be a huge impact player for them. So, yeah, Bronson Cherry's just another one they can add to that list.
The old redemption story, hey, provided it obviously comes off because, you know, he's out for a doping ban. Like, yeah. That is a four-year doping ban. That is as significant as it gets.
Yeah, it is. But the fact that he was young.
4 years.
Yeah, you know, you give him some leeway because he was young. Unsure of how it came about him taking that substance. But he's serving his penalty. He comes back. Rugby league's all about giving people a second opportunity, as are most sports. And I hope he grabs it with both hands.
On the eve of the second test, Clarkey, I guess one of the things to come out of the Perth test is the role we'll need Travis Head to play with the ball as we look ahead to the India and obviously going to the subcontinent. Now, you took 2 for 25 off 8 overs in the second innings there the other day, made 99 with the bat in the first innings. You know, he just needs to sort out his batting when we tour. If you look at the difference between his average home and away, I think it's 51 at home and 21 away. And I see Mike Hussey saying in the News Corp papers today that, you know, he's urging selectors to learn the lesson from the way that Usman Khawaja was handled, noting it takes time to learn how to play in foreign conditions as well. But considering Glenn Maxwell, of course, has that broken leg and is highly unlikely to be touring India in February, March, then Travis Head's overs, as well as his performance with the bats, going to become crucial for Australia.
I think firstly he's in there as a batsman, but if you're batting in the middle order, you you'd like to have that second string to your bow. And his off spinners actually aren't that bad. Mm. I think he can probably bowl more overs than he does. What stops him getting his a longer bowl is the fact he bowls right arm off spin, the same as Nathan Lyon. But I think, yeah, he'll be important. He's a senior player. He's been around certainly the domestic and first-class system for a long time. He's captain South Australia. He's in great form. You know, look at he's made the most of Aaron Finch's retirement in one-day cricket, so he's cemented his spot at the top of the order in the one-day format. You know, 99, he's locked himself in for the summer in the test format in the middle order as well, so he's where he wants to be. Yeah, I think his game's grown. I think he's learned a lot about his own game, and he'll perform overseas. But to all the batters, you go into India where it's very tough to start your innings. You know, you're generally going to walk, unless you're opening the batting, you're going to walk in against spin. You're going to see a lot of variation in those pitches, so it's going to be a hard place to start. So as long as he's got a plan, and any plan is better than no plan over there. And then you go, obviously, to completely different conditions. You've got to go to England and play in an Ashes series where, depending on what's above you in regards to the weather, that'll dictate how the wicket's going to play, if it's going to be, you know, a good summer for batting or a tough summer for batting. So, yeah, at the moment, you've got to be scoring runs here in Australia where you know conditions well, and you've got to be preparing for what lies ahead. But yeah, I think Travis's a good player. I think he's earned the right to be in the middle order in the test format and certainly open the batting in the one-day format. So the more all of our batters can bowl, the better, I think, in places like India. You know, a couple of part-time overs from Steve Smith, Dave Warner, Travis Head, whoever it is, could be handy. And then I'd imagine they'll play a second spinner as well. So they'll be looking at someone, hopefully, like Ashton Agar. I think he's the right guy. He can bat as well, make some handy runs. But I think, you know, fast left arm, spin away from the right-hander, attack the stumps in the subcontinent, I think he's probably more the right way to go.
And just to see the Pat Cummins will be given pretty much until, probably we won't find out until the toss, whether he'll play tomorrow.
And that's
as
smart
well.
As well. I think, you know, he's an important, yes, he's captain, but he's an important player as well. So he deserves every opportunity to pull up fit. I just hope he doesn't take the field. I hope he doesn't play if he's not 100% fit, because if he re-injures his quad and misses the entire series against South Africa, he'll never forgive himself.
Adam Pengilly, good morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. And I have been watching this World Cup game this morning, and I have seen the celebrations with Ronaldo. Do you reckon he's been enthusiastic or not?
I'm going to say lukewarm.
Yeah, he's got off the bench, to be fair. He's not going to just sat there and sulk. Right.
Following the crowd.
Had a false smile.
Oh, false smile. Like, yeah. Fake. It's fake. It's all fake. So he's got off the bench, and he's congratulated and gone to the hug and the embrace. But I reckon he's absolutely steaming underneath.
Well, the decision has worked.
Yeah.
2-0 up at half-time.
Yeah, and in cruise control as well, Loz. They probably could have had a third before half-time too. It was an amazing save by the Switzerland keeper. A couple of minutes before the break on a fast counter-attack by Portugal. So they've got to go cruising into the quarterfinals against Morocco, which they'll be heavily favoured to win as well, obviously, if they can get through this game. So it's going to be a fascinating storyline, though, isn't it, to watch what they're going to do with Ronaldo for the quarterfinals and even deeper into the tournament and get through today, because he will not be a happy chappy at all.
Big story for sure. Now, a big story could be Nugget and the Ingham on Saturday as we get to, well, acceptances today. And what was it, about 22nd, I think, in the order of entry. And there it is, the all-in favourite with Tab at, what, $4.50. So will this import get a start? I don't know if you've done the maths with it or whether the attrition rate... Well, we'll get a field of 20, won't we, being the mile start at Randwick.
Yeah, we'll get the field later through today, Jared. And we seem to have a lot of these situations at the moment, don't we? A lot of these lightly raced horses who are, you know, right in the market in all in betting or struggling to run in some of these feed races. So I don't know if it's something you need to look at to tinker. I'm not too sure. I think the system's worked relatively well for a long period of time, but there'll be a lot of punters sweating on him getting a run, as well as Kieran Maher and David Eustace, because we know what he's done so far since he's arrived in Australia. He's been great in two runs this campaign, and no doubt he'll start probably a favourite, I'd imagine, on Saturday if he does get a run in the race. But they're going to be waiting to find out a little bit later this morning. We'll see if the attrition rate's there and he can squeeze into the field. It looks like a really good, I was going to say Villiers this year. It's renamed the Ingham, isn't it? So a really good race this year. Obviously giving him a golden ticket towards the Doncaster, and I think that lightly race profile of a horse like Nugget obviously will fit in really well in a race like that, and we'll get into the form in the next 24 to 48 hours and come with a couple of tips on Friday, boys.
What's Lloyd Williams doing with his horses?
Yeah, Lodge, he's had the big dispersal, given that he's shutting down Macedon and Lodge. Obviously, the private training facility has up there and just on the outskirts of Melbourne. He doesn't want to go forward with that anymore. And obviously, he's going to have some outside trainers now these days looking after his horses. So he's dispersed them to a few different stables. I found a bit of a surprise that Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott are picking up a few of those horses. We know that Gay's been probably a very close confidant of Lloyd for many, many years now, but the Tullock Lodge are going to pick up a few of those horses. Chris Lees is going to get a few. Obviously, he did the job with Hosier in the big dance, or had Hosier, sorry, in the big dance, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. So he's got an association with Lloyd Williams. He's got Ben and JD Hayes, Lindsay Park picking up a horse too. So I'll be fascinating to see how this plays out with Lloyd having to spread his horses around a few trainers outside. And Gay and Adrian, Chris Lees and Lindsay Park are the big beneficiaries at the moment.
Now, the Gold Rush, this one of these rebranded races, isn't it, over there in the West, worth $1.5 million on Saturday evening our time over there at Ascot. And Valana, the Hunter winner, could be, it's got Barrier 1, Ben Mellum, booked for the ride, but in doubt.
Yeah, he's had another setback, Jared. Obviously, he missed the Winterbottom Stakes, which was probably going to be the big Group 1 target for him over there in the West, and had a bit of an issue there. And again, he's struggling at the moment with a report to stewards from James Cummings, a good old friend, he's had a bit of a setback, so he'll need to be monitored in the next 24 to 48 hours. But, yeah, really unfortunate for them, given that he probably went over across there as almost their top seed, I would have imagined, for a couple of those big races. And then Paul Ailey's obviously come out and did the job in the Winterbottom Stakes without Valana there. But, yeah, big money on offer. Let's hope Valana can get to the start line. But regardless, he's had an amazing spring campaign with the Silver Eagle and then the Hunter up there at Newcastle and wait and see how that plays out a little bit later this morning.
Well, they're racing at Warwick Farm today. Can you find me a winner anyway?
Yeah, you've got to be very patient today, Laws. It's race 7, number 3, High Blue Sea, in the last on the program. I thought he was extremely impressive winning at Rosehill Gardens last start. He's pretty good at Kembla there first up. I think third up, three-year-old, nice profile for a race like this. It can be hard for a lot of these horses coming out of winning their maidens to sort of tackle a 64 or a 68 or a 72, but he, to me, looks like he's got plenty of ability to make the jump and make the jump straight away. I know he's got a whitish gait, but I'm not too worried about from that shoot start there at Warwick Farm. And I think he can settle himself in the first four or five, then be really hard to beat. So that's race 7, number 3, High Blue Sea, in the last at Warwick Farm.
$5.50 with Tab as it stands. Mate, leave you to it. Have a good day. Chat tomorrow.
See you, boys.